Good morning.
Good morning. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. My name is Bettina. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us for the What's the Temp podcast this morning. I am coming in hot.
Your energy is off the chain right
it
now.
It is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm Jen, and I almost said I'm coming in hot. I'm just checking in so I don't check out.
Jen, come on in hot with me, boo. Come in hot.
Yeah, I know. You just amped me up like way past my normal temperature. Just with that energy.
I love it. Welcome to today's episode. We are so delighted to host you today. Today's episode is called Body Stories. Body stories. So this should be interesting. And Jen, let's start with your physical well-being temp check.
So I intentionally, because I knew we were talking about this today, not that intentionally, but after I dropped the kids off from daycare, my plan was just to rest. I had an experience yesterday. I had PTO. I was home. My partner unexpectedly was home as well. And like we do sometimes when there's an unexpected day at home, we got into an argument. And I had been, you know, I talked to you about this yesterday. I had been working all morning and I had been hitting dead ends in what I was trying to accomplish. And then as soon as we had that argument, it was like every faculty in me just shut down. And I was like, rest time.
Yeah.
It was like I had been racing at red lights all morning without even realizing it, just trying to do things. And it was just like the energy was not with me. I was not making any breakthroughs, not making any inroads. And it was a rainy day. So I don't even know, why was I forcing myself? Why do I have this need to be productive mentality all the time?
Wow.
And it took having that argument with my partner to just feeling so emotionally drained that I just was like, okay, this is where this day is. This is what, you know, the universe is driving at, is just stop. And so I just went straight into the bedroom and I just laid there and just breathed.
Wow.
And that's what I needed to do. And I did that for, of course, though, it's funny because you think you can do nothing and then a thought will pop into my head. I want a bike seat for my toddler. And then all of a sudden I'm grabbing the phone. And then I was like, no, get that away from me. So I like threw my phone to the opposite side of the bedside table, kept breathing. But so I'm hitting a wall with a bunch of stuff right now.
Right.
So I thought I might come home from daycare and just rest again.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found my car doing instead is driving to the gym.
Wow.
Isn't that a funny thing? And I knew I was going
to
be late.
That would never happen to me, by the way, but go ahead. I'm listening intently.
So I found myself walking up to the second floor and into the yoga studio for Warrior Sculpt, which is a hot yoga class that is taught by this drill sergeant. She's got to be like 4'10". She looks like a very, very hot bodybuilder that's somewhat reminiscent of Pink. Like, she's really
hilarious.
Beautiful, insane body. I feel like half the motivating force of group exercises, the instructor's bodies are out of this world. Like, you've never seen a body like that. Like, this person is unreal. But she is also a torturer and a drill sergeant, so I typically avoid her. Like, even if I see her coming down the hallway, I'll, like, hide. Like, I'll, like, try to duck behind a plant. Like, she scares me, you know? But I just wanted to beat myself up. I needed to do something different today because I was just not feeling it. I was having a mental health episode, and I don't mean a mental illness.
Like,
I just literally mean my mental, no, not a breakdown, just my mental health wasn't healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like mental health in the most generic sense. My mind was sick.
You need to center yourself.
Yeah, my mind wasn't doing well. I was having like a spiritual malady. So for me, the way out of that is to get into my body. So once I got into that class, I shut my mind off and I surrendered to this drill sergeant's torture apparatus. So we did planks. We did mountain climbers. We did a bunch of different yoga poses, but while holding weights. We did boat, which is a nightmare. It's like an ab exercise. Like, we did so many different things. It was a hot yoga. I was sweating, but it shut my brain off.
Wow.
And then it also just made me feel like a warrior, like the name of the class, Warrior Sculpt. When I was leaving, I was drenched in sweat. My face was sweating. My arms were sweating, mostly because of the temperature, because I actually opt out of a lot of the exercises because I'm not that hardcore.
Right. You're starting. You're a beginner.
No, I won't ever. There are certain things I just won't do. Like whenever they say chaturanga, I'm like, pass. I don't do chaturanga. Chaturanga is like where you basically do a reverse push-up. I just skip straight to downward dog. I just don't like that motion. I don't like doing push-ups.
I only know that phrase from P90X. Back in the day, I had P90X, and yeah, I would actually do it.
I just don't like the feeling of that movement, so I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, when I walked in late, there was a guy next to me who was kind of following my flow, which is to go way slower than everybody else is going, and then mm-hmm. just go into child's pose at random when you don't want to do something anymore. So I was like really excited. And then he got up and left because it was too much for him. And I was like, oh.
He didn't
finish. Know. I thought he was my partner in crime. I thought I was motivating him to take it easy, but he actually just gave up.
Oh, no.
But so long story short, or maybe long, I feel incredible now. My body temp. So my favorite outdoor temp is 83. I like it warm. Breeze, of course, but 83 is perfect for me. So 83 is where it's at. I haven't worked out that hard in a long time.
Wow.
And I just went into a zone and I just did it. And now I feel an incredible sense of accomplishment. Sometimes you just need that. I don't have the energy for it most of the time, but today I guess I just needed it because I just found my body just walking there without my permission, kind of.
That's so cool.
What about you?
It's funny you mentioned some of the things that I've been thinking about. When I thought about this topic, I began to think about, A, how grateful I am that I'm 100% healthy at 52. I could possibly have more days behind me than I have in front of me. And I'm a healthy person, slightly overweight, but healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
I'm grateful.
That's good to be grateful for.
Very grateful for that. But then I started thinking about my body, because you can't do body stories and not think about your body and then how mm-hmm. that's connected to self-actualization and the nuanced relationship of the two, right? And so I started thinking about my body as a temple, and I thought like, okay, what are my disciplines? What are the things in my life that I've actually made a discipline? Because, you know, I've gone through my seasons of working out hardcore, you know, all these different things. And right now my disciplines are like my spiritual disciplines, my writing disciplines, my project management disciplines, like the work, you know. But yeah. I don't have in this moment a physical discipline. But part of it has to do with the fact that I've moved to the Midwest and I just experienced my first real winter, whole winter, right? And so there's that. So there's this break. But then I also don't have my gym like I had in California, all my things, right? So it's coming back, just like kind of getting your body back in the groove. I feel like my body story and my physical well-being temp check, it's not just about physical well-being. When I think about physical well-being, I think about in the West, we're like, if you're healthy, it's about productivity, right? What are you getting done? But what you doing? Are you running? You hiking? Mm-hmm. What are you doing in the West? But in the East, it's more of the spiritual emphasis on becoming and all that. And I feel like my personal physical well-being temperature is a mix of the East and the West as it relates to well-being as a whole. You know, I think that I'm so grateful for being healthy physically, and I'm grateful for being healthy mentally. I'm grateful for being healthy spiritually. And I feel like all of that together culminates into a pretty great me on a day to day. And it allows me the space to do the things that I do. So my temp would be if I would go oven temp, it's a perfect 350. even though I still need to lose some more weight, even though, and I'm actively working on that. Like I've, like I said, I've lost 15 pounds recently. I needed to teach my body how to maintain that weight loss. And now I'm going in for the next 15. I still need to lose 30 more, you know? So I'm going in at 15 pound increments. I'm going in for the next 15 this month. And so that's where I'm at.
So here's the burning question.
Mm-hmm.
So many people I know are sort of trapped in this shame loop or this negative self-talk loop regarding their weight.
Mm-hmm.
And in that build up to your temp, you just were saying, yeah, I'm overweight. Yeah, I need to lose 30 pounds. And I'm doing great. And I'm grateful. And I have a sense of wholeness and well-being. And so just to be completely honest, there is no one else in my life who's able to have that both and. Mm-hmm. Both, yes, I would like to lose 30 pounds and I am satisfied with myself and feel good.
Mm-hmm.
For the majority of people I know, the overweight eclipses any sense of well-being. It dominates the thought process. It takes down the self-esteem. And so I'm just wondering if you can expand on how do you do it? You're such an outlier in that way. And I want to give just a little anecdote about that. Now, you can tell, maybe I'm misremembering this, but this is how I remember it happening. And I've alluded to this in a previous episode. You were telling me how you were trying on boots. Mm-hmm. You were telling me, you know what I'm going to say. You were telling me that you can't fit in a regular boot, like a regular size boot. Then you were telling me that you needed a custom boot because your leg couldn't fit into a regular boot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stopped and you were like, now I love my legs. So you paused mid-sentence while saying that basically no regular women's size of boot will fit you, mm-hmm. to just emphasize how beautiful your legs
are. I got sexy legs, boo. But.
And I just never, that just burned itself into my brain.
It's the both and. So you just triggered a funny story. So years ago, Lindora. So years ago, I was bigger and I wanted to lose weight. And a friend of mine had lost, I think, 40 pounds on Lindora. And we were working in Agoura Hills. It's like this weight loss clinic where you go in and get the B12 shots and they help you with your diet and all this stuff, right? But it was mad expensive. And at the time, I was making more money, you know, the most money I'd ever made on a job. I had gotten my first management position. So, you know, life had stabilized. Things were pretty good. It was only the baby was the only one at home. And so I was like, all right, I'll pay this $1,600 to Lindora to help me lose weight. So my daughter was in high school. She's in her 30s now. So it tells you how long ago this was. So I paid the $1,600 and I was going in to, I think, two or three times a week. You go to the clinic, you get your shot, you weigh in. And I had this very tall, very statuesque representative that was my person to meet twice a week at the clinic. So we would go on our lunch hour to the clinic. And she asked me, she said, how is it that you're not losing weight? Like, how is it that this isn't working for you? She said, what is your mindset that makes it okay for you to be overweight? And my friend just jumped in. She said, can I answer that for you? May I please? And then I just laughed and I said, go ahead. She said, because this heifer thinks she's fine. And she is, because whenever I go with her, there's my body. I've gone with her with a friend of mine. We've gone to a club and all the guys flock to her. Even with this weight, she has never had a problem meeting anybody. And so I looked at the lady and I said, it's because I look good, ma'am. Sorry. And I spent $1,600 on Lindora and never lost an ounce.
Oh,
I never lost an ounce. And I still walked. I wanted to say, you need to give me my money back because I still look good and I still have the confidence. But I feel like you owe me. for coming in here twice a week and never losing an ounce.
Oh my God.
That's literally how I could be the outlier because of all the things. Remember I told you that growing up, I felt like the plot was to kind of break my
yes. Big well, that's kid why I'm spirit. Also wondering. Because it's not like you had a ton of positive reinforcement growing up.
No. But I had enough love. I don't know what it was, but I had enough sense to love on me. And to keep loving on me in spite of all the external conditioning, in spite of all the circumstances, in spite of all the bad choices, in spite of all the, you know, mistakes, I still loved me. And there was just something about that. And I God just gave me grace to have confidence. And so with that, I feel like that's the beautiful thing where my both and attitude comes from, because yes, I'm overweight. And I feel like honestly, if I did not have this mentality, the 30 pounds would actually be the thing that takes my body down. Like it would cause me to be unhealthy. But I feel like my mental attitude, and it's not like I'm not conceited and I don't want people to think that. I just love me enough because me, first, it was because I had to keep me alive and I had to keep me healthy to take care of these children, right? And now for the first time in my life, the kids are grown and they're independent and it's about me. And so now this body has to sustain me because I don't have anyone that's protecting and providing for me. So it's like, I have to do it. I have to get my butt up and work. I have to read. I have to, you know, produce. I have to create for these clients. I have to deliver, you know, but all of that stems from a healthy me. And I feel like the healthy me stems from my healthy mindset.
It sounds like your notion of your own physical being is really all-encompassing, and it has a lot to do with like it getting you from A to B, it helping you to produce, it helping you to work, being able-bodied. It's not just about the most, like, I hate to say shallow, but it is kind of like the surface level. It's not just about the surface level.
It's not.
But at the same time, I feel like you do look good. You do present yourself as being confident and looking good. And it's nice to see an image of someone who can say, yeah, I'm, you know, a bigger woman. And that's also beautiful because there's so much messaging that you get from such an early age. So going back to you at an early age, do you just feel like it was God-given that you were able to have self-love, which is such a scarce resource, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Even just yesterday, I took another class. I let my friends convince me to get up at 5:30 in the morning to go to this Pilates class. I will never do that class again. Mark my words. Awful. All the movements I don't do. Push-ups, glute bridges. Like, I just was sitting there, like, the whole time. I was like, I don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to that class and I heard this woman, her friend was saying, oh, you're so hard on yourself. You're so hard on yourself. And it's like she was beating herself up for not being able to do this insanely hard class. And she had just had a baby 3 months ago.
Wow.
And I was like, this is exactly what I'm accustomed to hearing, is just people being so hard on themselves. So I guess I'm just still, I need more. Like, what enabled you to find self-love when you weren't even receiving any of that messaging? Or did you have it coming from anywhere? Or did you just dig deep and find it in yourself? Or is it God-given? Or like, where is it coming
from? I feel like it was a God-given thing, but I feel like the positive self-talk had to counterbalance the negative external talk, you know?
So you developed like a contra voice in your head.
It started there. And then as I, you know, they say, you know, your self-esteem comes from your, that, you know, basically you believing in yourself, that the things that you've accomplished. So if I said, you know, my kids are not going to live on welfare. And then I did that. My kids didn't live on welfare. That was like a check mark, a win for Bettina, right? And that built my self-esteem a little bit more. And if I was able to do that, and then it was like, okay, let me have a career, not just a job. Let me have a career that's going to stabilize, you know, my life enough to be able to help my kids have a better start. Right. And so then that was a check mark for Bettina. Okay, let me establish relationships with people that are built on, you know, just healthy, start from healthy places and built on honesty and trust, you know? And then when I did that, it's like that's a check mark for Bettina. So my self-esteem comes from all the things that I've accomplished over the years that I should not have ever been able to do if I had leaned on what my starting experiences were. Yeah, and so then really cool. That leaned into confidence. Once it built up and built up and built up little by little, just chipping away at all the things that were against me. And it was like, once I saw that all these cycles that I stopped, like I was a teenage mom, my kids are in their 30s and none of them have children. Now I'm ready for them. Now I'm begging for it. Can please somebody please get married and give me a grandbaby, right? I'm borrowing other people's grandkids because I love kids that much, right? But so when I look at the cycles, the cycle of abuse, when you look at all the cycles that stopped with me, that self-esteem comes from the most holistic place, even though I've made all the mistakes. But my thing is my wins outweigh my mistakes. And so that is where my confidence comes from. And then I feel like God has a hand on that because he knew I needed something to lean on before I had him officially, right? So I leaned on what was buried inside of me. And though that was the very thing that kept us alive, it kept us safe. It kept us pushing forward. It gave my children opportunities that they should not have had. Like when I look at my life, I should have been a welfare mom on Section 8 living. That's just the way I live. Right. And I just refused that as a lifestyle as a young person. And it's just never been an option for me. And I've been able to make it. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that because so many people are like, well, this is what it is. But I just believe that any system that feeds you has the ability and the capability to starve you. And I'm not going to give you that power over me, you know? So that's where it comes from. The long answer. And so people, that's where I get the bougie. People always say, oh, you're so bougie. Oh, you think you're better than someone. And at first it used to hurt my feelings so bad because I don't look, even though I have this confidence, I don't look down on anybody because I know that I could easily be you. Like in a moment I could be you. Right. And so it's not, it's just like, I work hard too. And my children were always they were my strength. They were what I was doing it for. Because if I could show them something different, then each one of them could look at me and say, well, if my mom was able to do this with nothing, with no education, right? If she was able to do this, then I could leapfrog over her and go even further. That was my goal. So I just wanted to reach for more and I just kept doing it. It never stopped. And that's why I'm in this place now, and this is what we talked about yesterday, that I'm ready to be and not always be on my way, right? I'm ready to become. So I'm working on mastery of all these areas, like mastery of my body. That's why it's important to lose the weight. And again, weight loss wasn't even my focus for 2025 at all. But it's happening as a result of me locking down these other disciplines in my life, which actually give me room to say, okay, well, if you're being disciplined with your reading, if you're being disciplined with your writing, if you're being disciplined with your all the things that you have to do with the business and all these things, why would you not also be disciplined in the way that you're eating and in the way that you're feeding your body? Because now it's starting to matter more than it's ever mattered in my life. So it's just a consequence almost of me developing disciplines and mastery in these other areas. And so I feel like what's going to happen at the end result, at the end of me achieving the goals that I've set out for this year and next, I think I'm going to be the whole person. And then I can get off of the highway of life. Like, I'm on my way to self-mastery, or I'm on my way to self-actualization, or I'm on my way to writing the bestseller, or I'm on my way to, achieving at these levels. And it's just, I've achieved mastery in these areas, and now I'm safe to just be.
Why do you feel like it's the most important to have that mastery of your body now?
Well, now, if the 30 pounds, so I was always active and I was still thick. So if you look at when I was on social media, I haven't been on social media in like a year and a half, but when I was on social media regularly, when you look through my photos, I'm always hiking in Los Angeles. I was climbing the Culver City steps. So I was a thick person, but I was very active, very active. I was outside all the time. Now at 52, the extra 30 pounds can start to hurt me, where it didn't really hurt me before because I was young and my body knew how to maneuver and still get things done around the excess weight. Now, living a more stationary life, because I'm at a desk more often than not, living in the Midwest where it'll be, my workouts will be more, or my activities will be more 6 months of the year than 12 months of the year, like in Los Angeles. I think I have to focus on getting the weight off and keeping it off for the rest of my life now, because where it wasn't so important, I feel like it's important now, because I don't want to. One thing I never wanted was for weight to take me down, like to be diabetic or have health issues just because of what I was putting in my mouth, you know? And so I just feel that when you think about your body and you know that your heart has to pump extra hard because you have 30 extra pounds, my heart's been already pumping all these days for 52 years. You know what I mean? I want to give her a break, you know, and get some of the weight off. So that's my you know, reason for wanting to shed it now. Not because I don't look good and not because I can't put myself together when I'm ready to step out, honey, because I can and I will. But
we know you're masquerading around in laundry, giving yourself high fives
every time I pass the mirror.
Or no, you're walking around naked.
I curtsied yesterday in the mirror. I was coming down the hallway and the back room door was closed, and there's a full length mirror on that door, and I just had on, you know, a t-shirt, some underwear, and I looked at myself and I was like, "You better go, girl." And I curtsied when I got to the end of the mirror at the end of the hall. So this is what your girl is doing. It sounds crazy, but I'm just a whole party over here, even by myself. You know what I mean? And so I'm not going to let 30 extra pounds take down my day or take down my life, because if it's weighing on me that tough, get rid of it. And then don't make it a part of your life conversation.
Yeah. I'm amazed, though, that you don't, you know, make your well-being and your self-image conditional upon anything.
No.
You just start from a place of, I'm fly as hell.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. We good. She good. You know? She good.
That's amazing. Ceiling fan blowing cold breeze on your body. I can't tell you really what it is, but you got it. Make up in the morning, you got dresses in your closet. But you grab them tight, you in love with being modest. You a mood, body giving center fuse. I'm just saying I'm amused. But you ain't even flexing. So that is our temperature check for today. Let's get into our backstory. And our backstory today is supporting each other through body changes or challenges. And I don't know if we've had any experiences with that, but you tell me. I don't think so. people are going to hate me when I say this, but I have to be honest. I've never been on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had the discipline to do something like that. I've never had the desire. I think I have a relatively fast metabolism, which isn't to say that I can't gain weight, which I'll get into, because I have gained significant weight at different points in my life. But I have a little bit of what you have. I've never thought I looked so amazing, but because I did dance from a really young age, because I did mm-hmm. sports from a really young age, I've always had a real sense of agency within my body. Like, dancing is the area of my life that I feel so confident. Like, when I'm in Zumba, I'm Bettina when I'm in Zumba.
That's
I've never
your
thought
jam?
About it like that.
That's your
yes,
jam.
Yes. Well, because I was telling you yesterday, I was like, you know, I can dance.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be as close to the mirror as possible. Some people are like, oh, I'm going to stand in the back. I'm like, I need to be in the front row. I need to be making love to myself in the mirror the entire time. I feel so sexy. I feel so confident. So when I'm dancing, I feel really, really great. But so I don't even own a scale. And then when I do gain weight or lose weight inadvertently, I never really notice it until something doesn't fit. So that's never an issue now, because mm-hmm. I just kind of only wear leggings and that's my uniform. But you would notice it more when jeans were more the fashion and before leggings came around. And so you would notice, oh my gosh, I don't fit into my jeans. Or I would be getting into the car and like there'd be like a roll over my jeans, mm-hmm. you know. But the thing is, I didn't care, because I just always felt like I gained weight really proportionally. So it was mm-hmm. just like, I just grew larger but stayed the same shape. So it wasn't mm-hmm. like, oh, now my stomach is so fat or now my legs. Like, I looked exactly the same. I just weighed more.
Right.
You know, and that never really bothered me. But I did notice once when I lived in New York. So when I moved from Harlem, my first apartment was in Harlem. And then I met she was like this very overweight, actually, speaking of extremely confident overweight people, this was mm-hmm. my first encounter. She was a white girl with dreads, but mm-hmm. she was so confident. And when you're in Harlem, you get hit on no matter what you're wearing. Like, I would be walking down the street with her. I'd be wearing like a huge gray hoodie and like size extra large pants, and people would be like, hey, mommy, mommy, mommy. Like, it was like, the bar was so low. It was incredible. And I never liked that type of attention, but she was all, like, I was, like, so skeeved out by it, because I had just come out of a college where it was, like, the male gaze, you're powerless over the male gaze. So I felt victimized by it, because I didn't like male attention of that type. But she wasn't my roommate. She became my roommate later, but we lived in the same building in Harlem, and she would just eat it up. Like, she was like, hey boys, this woman had to be 300 pounds.
Wow.
She was just someone who just was insanely confident. She mm-hmm. always had a boyfriend. She was the one who, remember, did I tell you how when we lived in the city, this was before they had dating apps, so we would do Craigslist dating.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you that?
No, I don't think I remember this story.
So we would go on Craigslist, which is like a text-only website. It's like you go to the URL and you would go to the personal ads section and you mm-hmm. would just meet someone and like you wouldn't meet them. You would just look at their ad and decide whether they seemed interesting. And of course, there's a million interesting people in New York. Like, there's no end to how many mm-hmm. interesting self-cultivated, because people self-select to live in New York. Like, if you live in New York, you're multifaceted and multicultural and whatever. So we would find these people on Craigslist and then we would book dates with them sight unseen. Like, sometimes
wow.
we would exchange pictures and sometimes we wouldn't. So it was
wow.
just like, you would just show up and it would be a total surprise. But the thing that was so funny is sometimes they were really hot. Like, I feel like most of the time they were.
Wow.
For me. I know. So she was incredibly confident. But during that time when we lived in Harlem, so her and I met, we just hit it off. And we ended up moving to Hell's Kitchen together because she was really killing it as a dog walker. Mm-hmm. And a lot of her clients were in that area. And so we moved into this incredible apartment. It was on 53rd Street and 9th Avenue. And that's when my lifestyle took a turn, in the sense that we were smoking tons and tons of weed. We were doing cocaine, but not enough to stay thin. I'll tell you that. We were ordering.
So funny.
Yeah, we were ordering a lot of takeout, and we would drink a ton. You know, we were doing the dating thing, but we were just living a life of excess. So we had this rooftop where just, I remember the first time we went up there and she was like, hello, New York, because we were right up in the skyline. It was only probably a 6 or 7 story building, but we were nestled right into the west side, not the Times Square skyline, but there's a lot of really, really cool looking buildings over there.
Right.
And we would go up there and we would have like our mimosas and our just, we would just eat junk and smoke weed all day. So I gained a ton of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that there was this man, this older man who we knew from Harlem. I forget his name. He lived in Chelsea, but for some reason he would go to these bars up in East Harlem. And I thought he was just a friend. It's very weird how I never would think anybody was hitting on me, because he was an older man who invited me to his apartment. And I remember he served this delicious cheese plate. He just went down to the bodega and got these like star fruits and positioned them on top of these crackers with Brie. And I was like all about it. But it's like, was he trying to sleep with me? Like, why was I at his apartment alone? You know, like in retrospect, right. It's like, now I wonder what his motives were, but I never thought anything of it. And when I saw him, we went out to barbecue with him after I had moved to Hell's Kitchen. And I guess I had gained a lot of weight and I honestly hadn't even noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out and you know what he said to me?
What did he say?
He was like, Jen, you've gained a lot of weight. He's like, you got to lose it. You got to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
He was just disapproving of the weight that I had become.
Wow.
And I remember thinking like, who do you think you are, old man? You have no ownership of my looks, my beauty, like none of it. What are you talking about? You know, I was so offended as I'm like stuffing barbecue into my face. Like I was really eating to excess. I really, really was, but I had no interest in his opinion about my body. But that was the first time that I felt like someone was telling me that it was socially unacceptable to have gained weight. Because I've always been small. Like I am pretty small.
You are tiny.
I'm small,
to
short.
Me.
Yeah, but I've never been like one of those really, really skinny girls. Like I've always been 5'2 and 135, but I've been like solid muscle because I've played sports and whatever. So I would say I've always been like basically a size 6, maybe like a 6 or a 4, but not a 2 or a 0, you know? And then most of that is just because I'm 5'2. So I'm just a small person. But I had hit some weight that was higher, and he disapproved of that. And I remember being really shocked. Like, I can't believe someone has an opinion on my weight, you know? And then the second time I gained a ton of weight, it was also drinking related.
Yeah.
And I remember stepping on the scale, and it said 150. And I remember thinking, 150? Because I could be anywhere between, like, you know, at my lowest weight, I would have been 125. And at my set point weight, I would have been 135. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing 150 and being like, well, that's a different number, you know?
Right.
And when I see, when I see pictures, yeah, that's really different. Like that's in a different decade of numbers, like a different group of 10, you know? And I remember seeing that and actually feeling quite out of control at that time.
Yeah.
Because I think at that time, that's when I had that feeling of, oh, I was really out of control my drinking. Like I was drinking probably like 2 6-packs of beer a day and like a bottle of wine as well. And whatever I can get my hands on, essentially. So I was drinking pretty steadily. Cause in South Philly, you can't buy 6-packs. Like where I lived in South Philly, where I lived, you couldn't buy 6-packs. So you had to buy 12 packs. So I just adapted
what
by buying 12 packs. I know. I don't know why you couldn't buy 6-packs. It was really weird. But I had to buy 12 packs. And then I would just drink that whole thing in one day. So I was fat as hell. And then I remember just feeling really powerless because I couldn't really do anything about it because I needed to keep eating. I never, again, like I've just never gone on a diet. I never felt like I would have even had the discipline to do that. And I also just don't really see them as being very successful. It just seems like it seems kind of stupid to me. Like if you can't maintain that lifestyle, what's the point of even doing it? And I knew I couldn't maintain it. So I didn't want to just yo-yo around. So I just kind of was like, okay, well, I hope it works itself out. Like, I don't know what to do because I can't stop eating what I want to eat. And then my lifestyle was out of control. So I wasn't able to like reel that in at all. So I just remember feeling like I want this weight to be off, and I know it's not coming off, mm-hmm. you know?
So what I find interesting with listening to you is it's all started with you've had a pretty high metabolism, which is the answer for everything, because
yeah, and makes it
part
easy.
Of that probably started from the fact that you were an athlete from a young age. I was not. And mm-hmm. so I have a slower metabolism. I could never drink even 2 beers in a day and not gain weight. And
really?
Even though you were drinking 12 beers, all you gained was 15 pounds after
yeah.
a consistent deluge of this
right.
diet, if you could call it that, right? But if I had done that, I would have easily been over 300 pounds, which is so interesting
mm-hmm.
how impactful metabolism actually is.
100%. It's your Delta hand of cards, you know?
It is. And so, but what I'm learning now is how to control the sugar spikes, you know, and how important that is. And so it's, you know, that's why I lean towards a lot of leafier, like even if I order a pizza, it's going to be a pizza with a lot of vegetables on it, you know, so where back, like a lot of guys want, give me a meat lover's pizza. I'm like, where are the greens? Give me some spinach and some peppers and some onions and some olives and some mushrooms.
Broccoli is good on pizza.
You know, is it? I've never had broccoli on pizza. Interesting. But yeah. I'm going to want so my newest discovery is Domino's Extravaganza pizza, because you can't say
what's that?
Extravaganza.
Yeah,
you have
to
say Extravaganza. There's no other way to say it. I almost want to call Domino's and order the pizza and say, hello, my name is Bettina, and I'd like for you to deliver a large Extravaganza. I'm going to do it this weekend. But,
do it. When you come over, please do that.
But so it has all the vegetables and then a little meat, you know, some sausage and pepperoni. But it's a great pizza. And I had it with the garlic crust. But saying that to say, I feel like the fact that I lean towards more heavily on vegetables, if I'm making an omelet, it's going to be vegetable heavy. You know, every time I make a meal, there's going to be leafy greens. The complaint is when I go to the store, I always start in produce and half the basket is full of greens and veggies. But that's just the mix that I prefer. So I feel like that has helped me some. But for me, when I've been out of control, it's when my mental was out of control. And that's what you just described. When you were out of control in your mental, then your body kind of followed that. And
right.
I feel that for me, it's just living more of a stationary life. So I've learned that I have the body that I have to incorporate steps. Like, I have to work out. And I've spent a lot of time doing that. I do get sick and tired of working out because I'm not active like that, just because I want to be. I don't enjoy activity like that. And when I do, this is where the community comes in. I want to hike with my hiking group. I had a great hiking group. They were much younger than me, but I had a great hiking group in LA, and we did a lot of hiking around Aliso Viejo. And, and all the canyons and all those places out there. But here, I have to find my place because, you know, in the Midwest, it's more flat. And so I just kind of create. One thing I've noticed when I look back at myself, I've always, wherever I've lived, I've always created a walking trail. So I'd map out, like when I lived in Torrance, I had a 6-mile trek that I would do. When I lived in Inglewood, I would hit the Culver City Stairs and I would hike at, you know, Runyon, which I think Runyon burned away with the last fire.
Yeah,
but I would hike Runyon Canyon and all those things. Like I did I would do the Hollywood sign, Griffith Park Observatory. Like I would do all of that stuff. So it was always amazing to me that I was always overweight, but not at the same time, because I do throw down. When I eat, I love to eat. So it's just, I've just been a happy, like, I'll go out and exercise. Like, if someone said, hey, you want to go on hike on Saturday when you want to do the Culver City Stairs, you would not think that my 30-pound or possibly even 40-pound but overweight would say, heck yeah, I'll be there. What time? 6 a.m.? Sure, I'll see it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was always that person. So it was always a healthy mix. I just think that now at this age, at this big age, it's time to put a little bit of focus on, I love your part of the story where you say you've pretty much lived at your set point. I don't know anything about that.
Mm.
I don't know anything about living at my goal weight, you know? I don't know. Yeah. So this is going to be new. And so I may not have needed support with that in the past, but I'm going to need it going forward, sister.
I think even when I was really addicted to, I was addicted to pills like Adderall and Dexedrine and like Vyvanse and stuff like that. So I would go all day without eating.
Mm-hmm.
So there were points in my life where I think I was too thin. Like sometimes when I see photos of myself, like in college especially, I'm like, ugh. And then also in different parts of me living in the city too. So if I was like heavier into either like Coke or speed at any given time, like that, I would have been too thin.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I've always thought about it is that because I do really, really like to eat, I want to also pay the price tag for what it will be to have that enjoyment in my life. Like, I need to know what's for dinner as soon as I wake up. Like, I start thinking about it. I start thinking if there's anything I'm craving.
Because we're twins.
And then it just makes my day. So it's like, I know if we're having Chinese food tonight, like, I'm just happy all day waiting for that, anticipating that. Like, my whole life revolves around food. I love food. I'm unconflicted about food for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, I really am completely. Like, the other day, I bought a baguette, and I ate the entire thing in one day. I was like, this is delicious. And you know what I ate it with?
What?
Butter. And oh, I was so happy because I was just, like, spreading the butter on the baguette. And it's like, I understand that there's going to be a cost to eating an entire baguette in one day. But the thing is that I feel like I have a balance because I ate that entire baguette in that day. Like, I probably honestly won't be in the mood for a baguette for like weeks because it's just like I satisfied that craving. So I don't like to withhold anything from myself.
Yeah,
I think I just don't have that food addiction. Like I have a lot of other things addiction, but I just don't have the food addiction. So I would rather be, you know, 135, 140 for 5'2 person. I think that's like, I don't know if that's normal or not, but that's my normal mm-hmm. when I'm eating pasta. And mm-hmm. I need to eat pasta because I love pasta. So I'm not going to cut out pasta in order to go down a pant size. Like, if I can't eat pasta, my life's a nightmare. So why do I want? I don't want that.
So here is the thing. I want to get myself to a point where I'm like that, where I can eat pasta and then still wear the size that I want. Honestly, it sounds so strange, but my goal size is a 10-12. My pant size goal is a 10-12. I'm a 14 right now, but I'm also proportionate. Like, I gain weight all over. It's not like it's all down yeah. in my butt or all in my breast.
Yeah.
It's all over my body. And so I actually am bigger than I feel. I'm bigger than I look, right? I weigh more than I look. Like, you would not think that my weight is such that it is by looking at me when I'm dressed, because I get compliments every time.
I've always thought, like, you look great and you look like you feel great, more importantly.
I do. That sounded very conceited.
No, it doesn't sound conceited. It just sounds like you love yourself.
I'm very confident in the way I put myself together to step outside the house, right? And then yeah. I'm confident in the way that I look when I'm inside the house. But I also know that there's work that needs to be done. So where I'm going now is once I take this next 15 pounds off, what I want to do is go into Whole 30 to learn me. But so we've been talking about mastery, right? This is my year of mastery. So that just mastering the things that I don't know or that I know I need to have that I'm just have been good at, but not masterful at, right? And part of that is feeding my body. to maintain my desired weight. So the reason I want to do Whole 30 is to cut out all the carbs and all the sugars and all the excess things and just eat whole for 30 days and then reintroduce things in a way so I can understand me and say, okay, like I said, when I get off rice, when I do Whole 30 and I get off white rice, I don't think I'm going to reintroduce it again because I've been a rice eater my whole life because like Uncle Bob, I love gravies. I make amazing gravies, mm-hmm. right?
And gravy things is like the that. Best.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, but it's I want to be able to enjoy gravy with cauliflower rice, you know?
Yeah.
So just incorporating, making changes that I want to have for the rest of my life, but I'm never going to give up pasta. Pasta is like the holy grail for me. And so breads, I don't want to give it up, but I just want to have it in moderation in a way that allows me, like I can have pasta on Thursday and I could make a soup and have a crusty bread with my garlic butter and feel confident. But maybe it's I'm eating meatless 2 days a week. I'm having vegetable this or whatever. I just want to be able to create my healthy mix and perfect it so that I can have all the things that I like and love and still maintain my weight without starving, saying I'm never going to be able to have chips again. I'm never going to be able to have sugar again. I'm never going to be able to drink a Sprite. No, you can have a Sprite, just all things in moderation. That's the point I want to get to.
It is so hard to have balance, but it, especially now, because I think my weight set point is probably going up a little bit. It definitely, after I had Nico, the weight, when I had Maya, the weight just flew right off.
Mm-hmm.
I did nothing. It was just literally 2 weeks later, my stomach was completely flat.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had like pretty great abs. Like if I had a favorite part of my body, it would probably be like abs.
Come through, abs. Come through.
Yeah. Like even when I am getting fatter, the fat like distributes itself to look like a six pack. I swear to God.
I love
it. It's really random. That's not how it looks right now. But after I had Nico, the weight, so that flew off after Maya. 2 weeks later, I was at the gym and people were like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
With Nico, it really wasn't like that. And also, I'm just older now. So I find that I do still have the same balance. So for example, after I ate that baguette last week, I was like so happy, just so happy that day. But then the next day, it's like, now I'm really in the mood for something lighter. So like now, like it's like my body will just tell me what it wants. That's what I find is if I'm in tune enough with my body, it's not going to want a baguette 2 days in a row. Like that's
right.
Too heavy. So now what it wants is it wants something really, really light. So then the next day, I ended up going to Trader Joe's and getting this riced cauliflower. It was like a stir fry though. So it had some sesame oil in it. And then I threw like a salmon fillet on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate that with the rice cauliflower and it was so good and so like light and crunchy and vegetably. And that's what my body wanted that day.
Yes.
So then it's just on a day to day, like what does my body want? So I'm not emotionally eating. I'm just seeing what does my body want and it'll tell me what it wants if I listen to it. And it won't ever want something heavy, heavy, heavy in a row because it wants to be well. But also I know that things affect me differently now. So one of my favorite sandwiches in the world is a bagel sandwich. I've loved this since I was in probably like middle school. We have really good bagels in New Jersey. And we have this place, O Bagel, that has these delicious bagels. And my sandwich used to be way back in the day, like 20 years ago, it was roast beef. More recently, it became chicken salad because I don't really eat red meat that much.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just not really eating meat for the most part at all. So I've switched the sandwich. I'm just taking things away. So my favorite current sandwich is it's just an everything bagel. I do just like a little bit of Swiss cheese. And then I do lettuce, tomato, onion, salt, pepper, oregano. And I also do mayo. Because of what I'm really after in a sandwich, what I'm really after is lettuce, tomato, onion, mayo, salt, pepper, oregano. Like that to me is what a sandwich is all about.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm after is the crunch combined with the bagel. So this sandwich is really doing it for me recently. But what I'm noticing is that if I do that bagel sandwich, my whole system will just crash now. It's like now I need a nap in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't eat like that in general. But if I do, I get very tired.
Yeah.
So I have to be careful, like mindful of that too. Like how is my body going to feel after I eat this thing?
Yeah.
is this thing packed with preservatives? Yesterday when I was on the phone with you, I was just like shoveling my daughter's goldfish into my mouth because I was like so hungry. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like it's really making me like drag to eat that. Like, what's even in that? What are these things that I'm eating, you know? It scares me.
Listening to you, I realized that I am very much an emotional eater. So I think the balance, I feel like the goals and the peace and the balance will come when you learn how to have a satiety, you know, mental satiety. You know, I think if I could get to that place where I am stable, like, you know, I feel in control of the things that are happening around me, and then the things that I absolutely cannot control, I let it go, then I don't have as many of those days where I'm a sweet savory girl together. So I remember we talked about my chips and my cookie.
I was just about to ask you, can you share, because that's from the lost episode. We recorded one episode where we lost the audio to it. And the part I was the saddest about losing was this part. So bring it back for us.
So
Your favorite snack.
I don't know if you all remember being in elementary school where they would have like a kid's birthday and you would have this paper plate. And on that paper plate, there was like cookies and chips and a little sandwich without the crusties. But my favorite taste in my mouth was the taste of that bland vanilla cookie and a plain potato chip in my mouth. So as an adult, I've learned to create that flavor at the same time, which is the Pepperidge Farm Milano double dark chocolate with my lightly salted plain Lay's potato chips, right? So I'll take a half of a Milano and one Lay's chip, and I layer it together and put it in my mouth. And it's the perfect flavor from elementary school, from being at a kid's party. And it's the best thing. So when I'm not good, that's the flavor I want in my mouth, those two together. And so, but what I find is my life would be in such turmoil, or things like would be out of control in a way that I would have a lot of those days. What's happening now is I don't have so many of those days because A, there's a sense my spiritual disciplines are intact, and I let go of the things that I absolutely cannot control, and the things that I can control, meaning if I need to write this press release, and if I have to write so much in my book, I'll do it. I actually do it. And if I started, remember we talked about this maybe last week or the week before, where if I don't feel it, I try it anyway. And if I still don't feel it, like 100% of Bettina is not into this while I'm doing it, then I'll quit. But I at least attempt it. What I do not give myself agency to do is say I don't feel like it and just don't attempt it, or don't do it when it's on the calendar to do. So I don't give myself the ability or the freedom to cheat myself. But I do
at least show up for
I
it.
Do show Try up it. For me. And so there's this thing though where I would have a lot of those uncontrolled days where I was shoveling junk food and all these things in my mouth, and it's because I'm not feeling good in other areas. I still get that because I want relationship. I want certain things, but now that I'm in tune to it, it's like, okay, I get that you feel that way. I get that you want to walk down the street and hold hands right now. This is not your reality. But what are you doing to position yourself for that? Are you putting yourself out there? Are you actually leaving the house to have the potential? Nope. Okay, so you don't get to eat chips and cookies because you're lonely and you're also not doing anything about it. So that's an absolutely no, ma'am. But it's being in tune and having the just the awareness and the maturity to have the conversation with yourself. Like, if I'm doing something about it and it's not working, then okay, if I need to have my Milano and Lay's today, then it's okay. But if you're not doing anything about it and you're complaining, you just want to do it because you're grumbly, you do not have the green light to do that. Nope, not today.
So I had a lunch hour. This was maybe the week before last week. It was a really beautiful day, and I ran out the door to go grab my favorite bagel sandwich, my Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, and mayo, and I put it onto my plate, and then I shoveled spicy nacho Doritos as another, like, nostalgic fave of mine. I got introduced to them in college back when they used to actually be really spicy. I think they've lowered the spiciness level on those, but I got those on my plate. I'm very, very, very into a dill pickle. Very into a lot of different types of pickles, but I happen to have the Clausen sand. Oh no, I got one at the bagel store, but I usually do like to do the Clausen kosher garlic dills.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my New Yorker and I set it up on my little patio table outside. I just remember thinking, this is the best day of my life. Like, this feeling is making it for me. I'm so happy in this moment. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go back in and go to work. But it's like I had that, just that sensory enjoyment where it's just like all neurons firing. And it was just a really wonderful experience and it cheered me up.
So.
And I just love food.
As I'm hearing you, I'm thinking about the life focus question, which is how do we build a healthy relationship with our bodies, right? And for me, I'm listening to you, and I feel like you're pretty much there because of the level of in-tuneness. And I want you to expand, like, if there's something you'd like to see going forward. Because when you say you're old, you must think that I'm ancient.
No.
If I'm an entire decade older than you.
You're dead wrong.
But I see us as
contemporaries.
I love that. Oh, because I'm young at heart.
The older the better. The older the better.
But so for me, I wrote out this thing when I was thinking about our bodies and our relationship to our bodies. To me, I can't think of the body as a separate thing. Like, I have to think of, in order for me to think about my body, I have to think about my basic physiological needs, right? I can't just think of just the body as a separate thing. And it was easy to do that. And I feel like the reason I haven't had success in the past is it falls in line with that fragmentation I've talked about in the past. Like, there was this part of myself, the mother. There was this side, the wife. There was this side, the single person. There was this side, the business person. There was this side, the friend. There was this part, the body. There was this part, my spirituality. But none of it was all together. Right? Everything was very compartmentalized. And so I can't think about my body functioning at its best without thinking about my mental stability, my spiritual stability, you know, all these other things. So when I think of my body, I think about, okay, why do I need the energy? In order to do all the things that I'm doing, I have to have my energy intact. In order to have my energy intact, I can't just survive off Milano's and lightly salted Lay's, right? I need mental clarity for complex thinking. So in order to do that, I have to eat more vegetables, minimize my sugar and salt intake, right? For emotional stability, what I find is that's the area where I struggle the most. And that is where loneliness is what makes me want to have those days that I only eat junk food and drink soda. Right. But as an adult, I'm aware of that and I'm more willing to tap in, like how you say, hey, girl, how you feeling today? Right. I will take a shower and really take my emotional inventory and say, OK, I know we want to have a day that I order DoorDash from Walgreens and get all my favorite snacks. But what do you really need in this moment? Right. I haven't perfected that. This is new, right? That part. But then I also think about longevity. If I'm going to get to the point of mastery, I have to be here for a while. And I know that in order to be here for a while, I need to lose this extra weight, right? So I feel like I'm in this place where the traditional Western wisdoms are meeting Eastern practices, right? In the West, we just think about looking hot, you know? I just want to look hot when I step outside the door. And I think that's a great place to start. But I think if I bring all of me together, it's sound mind, sound body. And so I'm focusing on integration rather than compartmentalization. I'm looking at process over outcomes, like the journey versus the destination. There's a community dimension that I've not incorporated since I've moved. And I think that would help me with a willingness to step outside more. I feel like if I found or created a community that says, hey, ladies, let's walk on Wednesday mornings to the park, through the park, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I need that. And then there's...
You need a community if you're oriented that way, and also something that you don't mind showing up for.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
this warrior sculpt, I may or may not show up for that again. Like I don't think I could like really get behind that. But Zumba, I've been doing that for like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And I love showing up for it because it's just path of least resistance.
That's your community thing.
It's not even the community. It's just, I mean, of course it's the community because you're dancing with other people, mm-hmm. but it's just like, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to show up for that. Whereas I'm not going to show up to run on the treadmill ever. I don't like it. It's a punishment.
And I really like riding my Peloton only because it falls in line with the Western thought of checking off boxes, activity, right? I love mm-hmm. to have that box checked. Like if I say I'm going to ride Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for 10 miles per ride, then I'm going to do it not because I love riding the bike or not because I love Tunde, my regular instructor. I'm going to do it because I love checking off the box and saying, I did that. That's completed.
Yeah. So that doesn't work for me. I don't care enough about that.
I would love to get to a place of rest and receptivity where I can relax and say, okay, this is how I'm really feeling, and this is what's going to work for me today, right? Because that's when I get to the point of physical health meeting this place of transcendence, right? I feel like what I'm not saying that a lot of people and even the community that you were describing earlier, people around you, are more concerned with how other people feel and see and respond to whatever their body type or their weight is right now. And for me, it's more about how I'm feeling when I want to lose weight or if I want to get rid of my tummy or something. It's because that's how I'm feeling, not because a man thinks I should probably lose 15 pounds. It's about what I have going on. And I think that's been my golden goose. If I can look good with or without clothes, then I'm comfortable. The moment I stop looking good to myself, that's when it's like, ooh, I got to get on these legs. Oh, I have to start doing squats. Oh, I have to do some ab exercises. Oh, I got to work on these arms, that kind of thing. But it's always been a me thing and not a you know, thing for outside commentary. So,
yeah.
I think for me, building the relationship, I think building a better relationship with my body starts with my emotional stability. If there was anything 100%. I needed to work on, my emotion, I feel like mentally I'm good, but emotionally that's where I struggle because I'm a little bit lonely. So if I work on that, I think that would help me get closer to my goals and help me stay there once I reach it. Because another thing that I worry about is getting to the goal and then not being able to maintain it, which is why I'm like, every time I lose 15 pounds, teaching my body to stay there, like what's working, what's not.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to loop back around because speaking of emotional eating or disordered eating or an imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did gain all that weight when I lived in the city in Hell's Kitchen, I remember that I wasn't willing to change my eating, but I did want to start working out to see if I could lose weight. So that's the first and only time I've tried to work out to lose weight. And what I did is I joined this gym, I think it was Crunch over by Worldwide Plaza. And I remember working out, but it was like my body was smarter than me, because when I would work out, the working out would make me hungrier. So it was like my body was outsmarting me. So I would do the elliptical 5 days a week, or I would run on the treadmill, but then I would be starving when I got home. So it was like my body was just like, no, you will be this weight. And then the other thing that I always have to just be completely transparent about what a disaster of a human being. So I had been saying, oh, I've never had disordered eating. And then all of a sudden I had this flood of memories of, around this time, I would eat so much. So I had disordered eating in the sense of binge eating. So there was this place up in West Harlem called Dinosaur Barbecue. And I was living in West Harlem at some point. I was up at like 157 and West End for a little bit. And I would go to Dinosaur Barbecue and I would order 4 different things or 5 different things. Like, I would get something that would be twice the size of anything I should ever be eating. And I would be so drunk and I would eat so much food. And then my whole body would be like consumed with stabbing pains because I had eaten too much. And then I would throw up. Is that disordered eating? Yes.
Yeah.
It's so weird because it's like I heard myself saying, I've never had disordered eating. And then I was like, what about all those times you puked? So then skip forward, like ate too much and puked. So it's like, I'm thinking, well, I was just enjoying myself. No, you weren't. Like, you were trying to fill a void and you were binge eating. That's just straight binge eating. So then skip forward to when I lived in Philadelphia. So Philadelphia was like was my bottom, like my rock bottom of alcoholism. I would go out to lunch, eat that way that I ate, which was I would binge eat. Then I would go into the bathroom at the restaurant and make myself throw up I could drink more. Isn't that horrible? So it's like so foreign to me that I would ever do that. It almost seems like I'm talking about a different person, but that's what I would do, because I would eat so much and then I would become uncomfortable. And then I would realize, like, I need to drink more in order to be okay. So now I need to go, like, remove this food from my body. Like, that just seemed like such a practical solution at the time, that I'm just going to take the food back out so I can resume drinking. What? Like, that's a really crazy, and I also think a very common thing to do. But it's so weird that I was saying to myself, I've never had disordered eating just because I've never been on a diet, when, like, yes, I have, and that's extremely disordered. So to return to your point, I really, really, really think that it is like a mind, body, spirit type of thing. And that for me, I have really had to get right with me in order to find a balance within my own body and to be at home in my own body. And I remember watching this one episode of This Is Us where, like, the woman, I forget her name. I really want to watch that show. I never finished it, but
it's so good.
Yeah, I know, it is so good. And she goes to that weight loss camp.
Yes.
But it's not about eating. It's just about, like, finding yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, the eating, just like the alcohol, for me, it's not eating. It is alcohol and drugs. But it's like, for someone else, it might be eating. So it's like, we all have this common problem, right? That, like, hole in the soul problem. It's the void we're trying to fill. It's the dysfunction. It's the lack of self-love or the lack of being centered or whatever it is. And so even if you don't lose all the weight, I bet you that if you do get right with yourself, you'll lose a lot of it, because that's the thing that's driving it. And then the last thing I want to say, because we've gone over yet again and we need to get to our recipes, is there's this book, A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. Yeah, it's such a good book, but she has this little section on weight loss, and I can really identify with it, is that she really wanted to lose this weight, and it just, like, because she had such a tight grip on it, the weight wasn't going. But then in her language, I think it was just like she got right with God and then the weight just kind of flew off. And that's sort of what has happened to me with this weight that has happened after having Nico, is that, like, I didn't really care that the weight was still here, but it felt uncomfortable to me because, again, I'm used to having, like, a pretty flat stomach, and now it's like I have this baby weight that's, like, hanging out here, and it just doesn't feel good to me. As soon as I just let it go and just stopped thinking about it, it kind of was like that. It's like once I released my death grip on it of wishing it were gone and being like annoyed that it's not going. My friend was over the other day and she's like, oh, you're looking like very svelte. And I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, so I guess it's sort of gone now. Cause again, I didn't
notice it. To be described as svelte.
Yeah. And I don't know if I am or not. I've probably gained 10 pounds since then. Cause again, I don't pay attention to my weight. But like, if you read that book, that Return to Love.
I haven't read it in years.
Yeah. I really think it's about like getting right with yourself, getting right with God. And I think that like, it's not that that's necessarily going to result in weight loss, but that it's going to probably help you to get to a healthy place with your own body and your own mind and your own spirit. And like, that's more important. And mm-hmm. it also might have unintended weight loss consequences. So that's just what it made me think of, is that episode of This Is Us and then A Return to Love.
Yeah. Such a good book. So how long ago did you read A Return to Love?
I read it probably 7 years ago, and then I reread it again like 2 years ago, but I did it on audiobook, and I really struggle with audiobooks because they make me fall asleep.
No,
so I wasn't really fully absorbing it, and I have it in my bookcase, and I need to, and I would love to reread it. We should do a book club with this podcast.
We should. I don't know if we want to do it with the podcast because we already do an hour and a half, but we're going
to
really
go
into this. But
do a separate podcast.
But A Return to Love made me start
A Course in Miracles,
right?
Yeah. And that was too dense for me.
It was for me back then, but then a couple years ago, I did it with Zena.
Yeah, I love Zena. I'm obsessed with Zena.
And O-M-G-E-E.
Zena's powerful.
We never finished, but I really want to get back to that because there was just so much about me. It was too much for me back then, but I was definitely
in a place. That's
a
channeled book, like The Power of Now. Like, I genuinely believe that book was channeled.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But let's do our recipes really quickly.
We have 2 minutes now.
Mine would honestly be a veggie scramble. If we wanted to do like a body nourishment bowl.
What's the recipe? You forgot to introduce the title. What is it? A nourishment bowl?
A nourishment bowl.
Okay.
And mine would be a veggie scramble. I love to cut up, and I think we've talked about this, so I don't know if I might change this in the show notes, but for me, one of the ways that I love to nourish my body, if I just don't have a lot of time and I'm in the mood for something light but satisfying, eggs and vegetables will just do the trick for me. So I'll cut up all the vegetables. And like I said, my refrigerator just always has a lot of them. So it's
what vegetables
mushrooms,
are they?
Spinach, red onions, bell peppers of all colors, tomato. I love tomato. Saute that stuff. Season it with a little bit of Italian seasoning, honestly. I will throw in just some oil, and an Italian seasoning is good for the vegetables. Or you can do like a garlic and herb. I love Mrs. Dash garlic and herb seasoning. But I'll do that, and then I'll scramble, like put 3 eggs in there, scramble them up, and then mix all of that together. And it's so satisfying. It's so nourishing. And it's one of those things that it's like you stopped for 15 minutes to make the meal. You stopped for 15 minutes to eat the meal. And now you're perfectly prepped and primed to get back to what you were working on. Just no delay.
Yeah,
it's not enough to make you sleepy, but it's enough to get you to that place of you know, just satiation so that you can complete your day. That would be my nourishment bowl. What about yours?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this because when I am in the mood for something that like feels extra nourishing, the thing I go for is kale. I do like a kale salad. So my recipe today is actually this salad that our friend Lila made for us 2 summers ago. And I just loved it. And I was just eating bowls and bowls and bowls of it. I don't buy kale that often, mostly just because when it comes to me from Lila's garden, there's always these like bugs on it. And that grosses me out because they're like these little worms and I don't like to kill them because I'm like really sensitive to killing bugs.
Oh my gosh.
Do no harm, Bettina.
I'm killing all the bugs and eating all the kale, man.
I literally put them outside in the garden. Like, I'm so crazy. So it takes me forever to make this salad. But you can get the kale from Whole Foods if you want, and then it probably won't have all those bugs. We have it from her garden often. But so anyway, I love to do, this is the most nourishing thing I think I ever eat. So you would do with the kale, usually would massage it. So I would do like just salt and olive oil, and I would just kind of like crunch that up in my fingers, just a tiny bit of olive oil, just to kind of like soften it up a little bit. And then I would put onto it. So the one that she made that I was obsessed with, it had those, I think they're called pepitas. They're like little sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It had dried cranberries and it had some type of walnuts. They were either just regular walnuts or candied walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like blueberries or something, you could throw that in too. It's just kind of like whatever you have on hand. Usually I would do either a blueberry or a cranberry. The dressing, this one would actually be a maple syrup and a Dijon mustard as the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just add oil and vinegar. So whatever type of vinegar, you could do apple cider vinegar, red wine vinegar. And then for the seasoning, you would just do salt, pepper.
I love that.
That's it.
I love the simplicity. It's so interesting that you lean to kale because for me, I feel like I always have to break up kale because it's so strong.
Oh, you mean you have to break up the flavor?
I break up the flavor. So it's like if I'm making kale, I always put, like if I'm going to have a kale salad, I have to add romaine. I have to have a bunch of other things. It's never just where kale is the star. No. So interesting I'm gonna try this from you.
Even if you make it a little sweet like that, though, I think it would be different if you were to add the maple vinaigrette.
That's why I want to try it. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that's it.
Super cool. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing you with me today and allowing me to talk about me and all this body, honey. Thank you.
Give me a little bit of that body love that you have. I'll take a little bit of that for today.
I'll send it for you.
Where I'm going is like, I want to be high-fiving myself in the mirror because I think the whole, like that feeling of the food is not enough was ultimately that I'm not enough masks this connection between it's not enough and I'm not enough.
I would love to see you get to the point that you could look at yourself in a full-length mirror and say, oh, my mama, oh, my hood, I look fly, I look good. I would love to see you get to that point.
That's where I'm headed, man. Let me just say it. I'm just going to put it out there. Just act as if. Like, I'm planting the seed right now. Like, that's where I'm going with this.
It starts with the curtsy. Starts with the curtsy. thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina and I'm so glad that you joined us. Be great on purpose.
Have a great 24.
Bye.
Wake up in the morning, you got dresses in your closet, but you grab them tight, you in love with being modest. You a mood, body giving center fuse. I'm just saying I'm amused. But you ain't even flexing. And you cool, tatted up, cover wounds, different vibe.